This is our theme this year, the year of overflow. And as always, what we get out of this is how much we put into it. I haven't been as faithful as I should have been in declaring the theme that the Lord gives us. And I've made up my mind I'm going to be more faithful this year. Been so faithful so far, I want to keep doing that because I do want the overflow. It's all over Scripture. He is the God of the overflow. And so, let's begin in Genesis 17, verse 1 today. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 90 years old, and 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Ooh, I like that. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Do what I say. That's what that means. I am the Almighty God. The word Almighty translates to El, come from the word El Shaddai. I am it. Glory to God. And also means I am Almighty God with overflowing provision. Overflowing provision. That's overflow. Also, we can get the meaning of a nursing mother. As we all know, when a woman gets pregnant, when a woman gets pregnant, her breast starts to fill up with provision for the child. The child is not even here yet. I mean, months and months and months. Already taught me happy. God has already laid down all of the provision, everything you could ever want and beyond before you ever showed up. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. And he gave us, often Jesus would teach using natural things to impact or impart supernatural revelation. And so here again we see, again, like we all know that. We've seen it, I don't know how many times. A woman gets pregnant and her breast starts to fill up, getting ready for the baby. And so when the baby shows up, there's plenty of milk in the breast. Plenty. Hallelujah. They're not just one breast. I don't mean to be vulgar, we're in church, amen. It's not just one breast, there are two of them. Two, full to the brim. More than the baby could ever want. Hallelujah. Baby drinks and drinks and just falls asleep. Woo! Too much! Too much! Too much! El Shaddai is too much. My goodness. That's overflow. That's overflow. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's overflow. I shall not want. That's overflow. Verse 5 of that same chapter. It says, my cup runneth over. Runneth over. Not ran over. One time. Runneth over. Continuous overflow. That's God's best. My goodness. The year of overflow. Psalm 91 verse 16. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you. That's overflow. Meaning you can live as long as you want. Woo, that comes as a shock to many people, even Christians. You can live as long as you want. Doing the will of God. I've said it many times. What would happen? If believers outlived those who don't believe. That in itself would be preaching the gospel. People would want to know, how come you all live so long? And then we'll tell them about Jesus. Not only that,
But if believers are living longer, then there is less rape, there's less fraud, less stealing and killing and murder, because more and more and more and more people love the Lord. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, pray that it be on earth as it is in heaven, he had all of this in his vision. But you know, Christians today get to be 50, 60, 75.
And then they start, in their minds, start going back.
Psalm 91 verse 16, with long life would I satisfy you. That's overflow. You get to say when you're satisfied. Meaning that you live until you finish your mission. Amen. And then some. That's overflow. Let's look at this one. Matthew 6. The year overflow. That's what he said. And there's plenty about it in scripture. We couldn't read all of it today if we wanted to. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 30. He's talking to them about why are you worrying about this and that, what to wear, what to eat, what to put on. Okay? And then he says, first he talks about the lilies. The fowls, actually, verse 26, talking about the fowls, the birds. The birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't farm, and yet they're all fed every day. Somehow they get all they want. Think about it. Talk about long life is satisfied. Did you know, I heard that radio play, do you know a crocodile lives to be 100 years old? A crocodile in the mud. He doesn't ever go to see a doctor. I do. So what can I live? A crocodile in the mud. My goodness. Here I have air conditioning and all. I mean, oh Jesus, overflow. So the fowls of the air. You know, God feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Huh? Verse 28, the lilies of the field. They don't cook, they don't clean, they don't farm, they don't do grocery shopping, nothing. The Lord handles them too. And then it says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, who, as you know, was very, very rich, you know, of his glory, his riches, that is, was not arrayed like none of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is gone, shall he not much more, that's overflow, shall he not much more clothe you? And here's the problem. Here's a problem. Here's an issue. Little faith is an issue. Little faith is why we are not clothed better than Solomon, than the lilies, and taken care of better than the birds. Little faith. That's our part. Not only in the supply part of it, but also in the effort part of it. Instead of putting up faith effort, we put on muscle, brain effort. Hallelujah. Overflow. Thank you, Lord. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 43. Overflow. The year of overflow. We can have as much overflow as we dare believe for. I said, as we dare believe for it. Mark chapter 6. You know this story about Jesus feeding 5,000 men. And by the time you add the women and the children, it's very reasonable to say that there were about 15,000 people there. Oh, yeah. And back in those days, men married multiple women and had multiple children. So that's a really conservative number. But let's see here now. Where am I? Mark 6. Look at verse number 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the remainder. That's overflow. Now, notice this. I hadn't really noticed this until the last couple of days when I was studying this. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the bread and of the fishes. Huh? I didn't notice that too much. Fishes too. And the fishes part was more of a miracle because as you know, there were 5 loaves but only 2 fishes. So from 2 fishes in the 12 baskets, that's more of a miracle than from the 5 loaves. Overflow. He's the God of the overflow. More than enough. More than enough. Overflow means the cup is full and run it over. Why? So others can partake of it. That's what the overflow is for. For other people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
First the family, and then, you know, so on. Everybody can. Everybody can't know how kind you are except your family. I don't know. That's not right. Amen. So. Okay. Luke 6:38, give, you know that, and it shall be given to you again, good measure, pressed down, running over. Again, it's not run over, single incident, running over. That's overflow. Shall men bring unto your bosom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eyes hath not seen. Woo! Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. Meaning you can't even conceive of the quantity and quality of the reserves of heaven. My goodness. It hadn't even entered into the heart of man. But God has prepared. Huh? Think of that mother now. Pregnant mother. Prepared. The milk is already prepared. Doesn't have to be warmed up. You know, modern times, you know, mothers are busy working all that. So we pump, you know, have milk in little jars and powder milk, all that. They'll have to warm it up. I remember we have to warm it up several times. Warm up again, oh, it's still cold. Warm it up again, it's still cold. Warm it up again, oh, it's too hot. No, mother's milk is just the right temperature. Glory to God. El Shaddai. I am the milky one. Hallelujah. That's overflow. Hadn't even entered. I remember when I used to dog people who flew first class. First of all, it was out of jealousy anyway. I didn't have the money to fly first class. We're going to get there the same time anyway. What's all this? These folks have better, more money than sense. I have neither. I need the money, no sense. So, you know, I've said it before. You overbooked the flight, bumped me up to first class, and I'm like, whoa, this is a way to fly, boy. Oh, my. It hadn't entered my heart. I hadn't even conceived of the difference between third class and coach and first class. Okay, you flown, you know the difference. Oh, man. flex. Have a phone flex card. Maybe we should try it. Just one day. Just try it and see how it is. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has it entered the heart of man. Hasn't. That's overflow. 1 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, yes, for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Did you know the word rich is an overflow word? Rich means more than you have to have. Did you know rich doesn't come from a paycheck? A paycheck may be part of being rich, but folks who are rich don't get a paycheck. It's just there. It's just flowing from investments, right? It's just rich, just flowing, overflow. So the word rich by itself means overflow. And Jesus died to make us rich. Now, that sounds, to some Christians, sounds like, I can't be. But you read the Bible. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Go read it for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, the thing that lacks it, we don't believe for it. We don't know it. No, we don't believe it. Believe it, don't act like it. And so we never get it. Yeah, it's not a lottery. It's not going to happen all one day. It could, but may not. But I'm a witness. Glory be to Jesus. Like I've said before, I have lived in the ghetto. I've lived in public housing. Not anymore. Never again. How can you say that? Because of this book. That's why I can say never again. I believe it. Because of overflow. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 8. The Bible says he is able. Let's turn to that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Talk about the year of overflow. 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 More than enough. Not an incident. Not one time. Overflowing. Thank you, Father. This may be the granddaddy verse for overflowing scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able. Which means the issue is not on his end. It's our end. He's able to make all grace. All of it? That's overflow. All grace means more than you can handle. Abound. All grace is plenty. But if all grace is abounding, readily available, toward you, not away from you, toward you. Not away from you, toward you. So that you can always, that's overflow. Always. Not just when you get paid. Not just when everything is hunky-dory. Remember now, when I talk about overflow of peace, of joy, of lay your head down in the night and you just, in the next, it takes 1 minute, you're snoring. Not tossing up and down, tossing in your head, 3, 4, 5 hours haven't slept a lick yet. Because you can't go to sleep. You got to take something to go to sleep, take them to get out from sleep. come on now, that's not the abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. Overflow of rest is you lay your hand on yourself a pillow and you've cast all your cares on Jesus. He's going to be up all night. No use both of you being up all night. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's laying there, and a minute later, you're snoring. You're gone, man. You are gone. That's abundant. That's overflow of rest and peace. Amen. You always have it. Always having something? No. Always having all.
My goodness.
Yes.
You can fill in the blank there. All of everything that's good. Always having all peace, all joy, all contentment, all money, all of it. Always having all.
Yeah.
Sufficiency in all things. Not in some things, all things. And therefore, then you then are able to abound. See, that's the overflow part. Not just for you, but for others around you. In an ever-widening, cycle of blessing. Huh?
Amen.
My goodness. You can abound in every good work. Look at verse 11. Being enriched, that's that word again, rich. Remember that the word rich by itself means overflow. That's more than you may even want. Woo, glory. Being enriched in some things, no. In everything. In everything. Yeah, well, I've got all the money I can buy, but my kids don't want anything to do with me. That's not everything. That's not everything. In everything. To all bountifulness. That's overflow. There is not even a doubt, not even a shadow of a doubt in God's word. So when I come up and I say things like, if it's not ungodly, if it's not unethical, it's not illegal, and you want it, God wants you to have it, that's what I'm talking from. Overflow. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Thank you, Lord. Verse 20. He is an overflowing God. Overflowing with everything good. Everything good. Everything good. Overflowing nature. That's His will. That's His plan for us this year. Having said all I've said, now unto Him, verse 20, that is able, that word is again able, which means it's on us. The issue is on us, not on Him. Unto whom who's able, He's able to do exceeding, that alone is overflow. That means it's way past what you thought. But then he says, exceeding abundantly. That's overflow. And as if that was not enough, above all that we ask. You know, that's one measure of overflow. But then he says, oh, think. You are not capable of thinking. Help me, Lord. My goodness. My goodness. Hallelujah. His abilities are such that you as a human being, you know what I mean? You don't even possess. Your mind can't even go that far to think, to ask what he is able to do. Which is why we should have no purpose at all when we hear something like, if it's not ungodly, if it's not illegal, if it's not unethical, and you want it, he wants you to have it. Because see, this is still the realm of what you want. We're talking here about beyond what you, if you can't even think about it, how can you ever want it? You got to be able to think of it to want it. And so if we're talking about things that you can't even think of, then what you can think of, you suddenly can have. If it's not ungodly, immoral, illegal, and all that. God of the overflow.
the year of the overflow. Now here's what happens. When we read this scripture, I've heard too many people. They read the scripture and then here comes yeah, but. Huh? They say, yeah, but it says, according to the power that working in us. So what's the problem? We already have the power. What's the power? The Holy Ghost is the power. Do we not already have it? Put your finger there, we'll come back. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Oh, Jesus. See, that's it. That number the devil trying to move you back. Glory to God. What am I looking for? Thank you, Lord. Let me see here. We already have the power. Greater, you see this. That's what I'm looking for. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's see here. I got to show you. You probably already know it, but, you know, when we mention scriptures like that, it's good to say because some people don't know it.
That's in 1 John.
Is it 1 John? Okay, let's go to 1 John.
4.
1 John 4. Okay, I got the 4 part. 1 John 4, okay? Verse number 1, I believe it is. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Alright, so if the greater one is in us, then if we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, and it says, he's able to do according to exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, the power of God is the Spirit of God. He's already in us, and he's already working in us. What's the problem? All we have to supply is faith, belief, action. That's it. We don't have to go get the power. It's already in us. It's already working in us. But the devil will, the way some people teach it, makes it look like, if only we could get the power. Well, you got the power. He's in us. And we can work it by supplying faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Here's something else that I found out. When it says he is able to do, seems to suggest that he hasn't done it. And for years, that's bothered me some. And I believe that I've got a breakthrough in that now. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can also think. But Peter says, Peter says, look at 2 Peter. Peter says he already has. So I read it, I'm like, Lord, why is it like that? How come one epistle says you are able to do, and another one says you have done? So what's going on? And I believe he showed me that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given to us. Has given. Well, if he has given, he also has done. Ephesians 3 says he's able to do. Well, 2 Peter says he has given. Well, if he has given, he has done. But why is it like that? And then I got to thinking about it. Did you know that Paul, now this is going to come across to some theologians or something like that. Well, if you're a good theologian, you know this. Did you know Paul wrote his epistles before Peter wrote his? Oh, yeah. Paul wrote his epistles before Peter wrote his. I believe Peter got the latest revelation about the matter. Amen. Let me show you. Let me show you a scripture that indicates that Paul wrote before Peter did. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter refers to Paul's writings, which means Paul's writings must already have been there. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 15. And account, that's not a good place to stop, but in the interest of time, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to his wisdom given unto him, has written unto us, unto you. So, for Peter refers to Paul's writing. Huh? That's because Paul wrote his epistles before Peter did. And I believe that Peter received the latest revelation about the matter when he says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If he has given, he has done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's something else. Here's something else. Look at Philippians. Wait a minute. Yeah, go to Philippians. Let's go to the book of Philippians. We have a couple of chapters, a couple of verses there to look at. Philippians chapter 4. Which one do you want to talk about first of all? Alright, Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse. Here's a scripture that just about everybody knows. Every Christian knows. 4:19. My God shall supply all you need. And I told you that the Lord instructed me some time ago to stop using the word need. To renew my mind to think of want instead of need. Because that's really the position of the new covenant believer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But then here's this verse 19 again. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply your need. And he let me know, again, just yesterday, hadn't paid much attention to it. He says, Paul says, my God shall supply all your need, but it didn't stop there. The next few words are most important. According to his riches. If you had a need and you came to someone who has barely more than you have, if you had had a slice of bread and you came to someone who has three slices, right? They may tell you, well, you know, I know you want a slice, but I can't afford to give you a slice. I only have three. So here, take half a slice of bread. Because I only have two and a half left. But what if you wanted a slice of bread and you went to someone who had 1,000 slices of bread? You get the difference? That's the meaning of that. That's what we should get in that. Go past, stop, don't stop reading that. Supply your need. And become need conscious. Every time you have a need, well, yes, Lord, supply need. No. We're supposed to be the want plane. And that's incorporated right here. If you understand this right, God is going to supply your need according to his riches, not according to the U.S. government or the economy. According to his riches. Help me, Jesus. Slow down. In other words, for every $1 need you have, God has $1,000 to supply that. You take $1,000, apply to a $1 need, what has happened now? You've gone instantly from need to want. And that's the place New Covenant believers are supposed to stay put. Again, that's overflow. That's overflow. That's overflow. Now, overflow, when we talk about overflow, we're not just talking about money, right? Look at Philippians 4. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's overflow. Woo! When you have peace in a situation that you should be tearing your head off, and you're just as peaceful as can be.
Why? Because you have cast your care on Jesus, and you know, in spite of what it looks like, everything is hunky-dory. District Texas. Glory to God. That's overflow. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus. Just remember that, as I said that, when we heard that our son had a stroke, this happened. The peace of God descended on us. Took our time going up there. The whole time knowing, when peace like a river. Something else. When sorrow, something like that. Tend to my soul. Okay. Help me, Jesus. When sorrows like sea me bear, whatever my love. You get a picture. That's what it's talking about here. Peace that passes understanding is overflowing peace. So when I just talk about overflowing finances, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Look at 2 Thessalonians, the God of the overflow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth is great, but groweth exceedingly is overflow. And Fred Price used to say, ever increasing faith. Ooh, glory. That's overflow. An overflow in faith means overflow in every other area of life, because faith is the hand that receives from God. My goodness. Overflow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, look at 1 Peter. Let me see. Did I finish reading this? Oh, now go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. Here's the connection. We just talked about faith. Overgrown faith. And then it says, and the charity, the love of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. Faith cannot grow exceedingly if love is lacking behind. Huh? Because faith worketh by love. And that's why it puts it together. Love has to be abounding for faith to be growing exceedingly. Which means you can't harbor unforgiveness in your heart against anybody, anything, for any reason, and have ever increase in faith. Not going to happen.
Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the 7th verse where we were, verse 3. We just didn't finish reading it. Your charity aboundeth. Love has got to abound for faith to abound. And if faith does not abound, then receiving is not abounding. You're going to miss some. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now go to 1 Peter. The year of overflow. He's the God of the overflow. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Not only can faith be grow exceedingly, joy can be, you can have so much joy, it's too much. Joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God, the presence of God. Notice also, even in connection with joy, that love is mentioned. Whom having not seen, you love. What's that mean? Faith. When you believe something you haven't seen, that's faith. So now we have love and faith. In whom not now, slow down. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. With joy unspeakable, full of glory. Joy overflow. When joy is overflowing, is the best proof that you are in faith. You can't be in faith and then be sour faced and all that. No. You just think you are. Because you are rejoicing the fact that it's done. Don't look like it, don't see it, but you're rejoicing that it's done. And the joy then becomes an activity of believing. Believing is not faith. Acting on what you believe, that's what faith is. Not just believing. All sorts of people believe all sorts of things. That's not faith. Acting on what you believe, that's when faith shows up. So the Bible does not say faith cometh by hearing. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Because of what I already said. And we talked about that some time ago. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there for now. And we've got a few minutes left to go on to our other series, so we'll do that. Next week we'll talk about what our part is in the year of overflow. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. This one was added anyway. So, I can go and plug it in. I do that. Yeah, it might be easier, faster.
Is that the new plug? Oh, that's the old one.
Yeah. Battery, this one was dead. It's going out. Thank you, Lord Jesus.